podcast is for big kids over 8 years old.
ABC Listen.
Today we're catwalking all the way back to the 50s, where people had a penchant for expensive, designer, luxurious... gutted animals.
Wait.
What?
Wait. They did what?
They did what?
They did what?
What? What was that?
That can't be true.
What?
What? What? What?
That blows my mind.
That's wild.
What?
They did
that.
That's
what?
Ridiculous.
So wrong.
Wait.
They did what?
What? What? Yep. Wait. They did what? Is the podcast that makes you question the smarts of humans from the past. I'm Tiliotti Black, and today I want to talk about wearing animal skin.
Because people didn't care about the animals.
And they did lots of, like, hunting and stuff.
Yeah.
Look, people have worn animal parts for thousands of years, usually for practical reasons like warmth. But fur became a serious fashion statement in Australia between the 50s and 70s. At the Caulfield Cup, that's a big horse race, in 1958, the animals draped across women's bodies were just as popular as the animals on the track.
There was plenty to entertain racegoers apart from the racing. There was a parade of furs by well-known Melbourne mannequins. In all, 16 lovely girls display stoles, capes, coats, and just about everything in furs.
What say you, wise fashionistas of today? Yay or nay to the 50s fur?
They're cute.
They look uncomfortable.
Yeah, they look itchy.
They look heavy.
Also, it's too hot to wear in Australia.
For real, I can't imagine wearing a fox around my shoulders to a backyard barbecue. Or ever. What type of animals do you think they were using to make this fur fashion anyway?
Tiger.
Mink.
Possum and rabbit.
Deer.
Deer?
Yes. I've seen deer rugs.
Polar bear. Highland cows.
I stand by deer.
Lion. Poodle.
Woof! Did someone say mink?
What's a mink?
I'm glad you asked. It was a bit like a smelly weasel, and it was this guy's job to sell the stinky minks in the 60s.
For weight for size, I think he's probably tougher than a tiger, because he's a real rough fellow. He hunts in his natural habitat, and he's a great fisherman. You dive in the water, catch fish, hence his wonderful all-purpose coat.
Aw, sounds like some sort of cute mix between a beaver and an otter. Yet, if I saw one in the wild, I can't imagine I'd say, fetch me one of those weasel-like aquatic creatures and then kill it and make it into a coat! What am I missing, Mr. 1960s mink salesman?
Last year, when we had a natural pale rose mink, which we call Revalia, it's pink mink, and it caused great excitement and fetched a world record price, at that time, of $420, one skin.
What would that make a coat worth?
Well, I suppose a lot depends upon how many skins were in the coat, but I would say an average size coat around $15,000 or $16,000.
Hold it right there. I don't care if it's pink, purple, or rainbow. $16,000 bucks for a coat in 1960? That'd be equivalent to $170,000 today. Don't ask me how I figured that out. What do I look like, a mathematician?
That is crazy.
Boozy.
Boozy baddie.
And now it's starting to all make sense. Fur fashion, especially poor little minks, were a status symbol. People just wanted to look rich. Now, if you're anything like me and you feel a bit sorry for the expensive little minks and their furry friends, we're not alone. Some animal lovers in the 60s and 70s started speaking out against the fur industry.
Because it's like animal cruelty and they don't want to hurt the animals.
Which is valid. Because if you're only killing the animal for the fur, it's kind of like...
it's a waste of an animal.
Exactly. Listen to this reporter interrogating a fur trader in the 70s.
You would agree it is perhaps even barbaric.
No, I wouldn't agree it was barbaric. I think women who wear furs feel uplifted by the whole cuddly effect of them.
Is there a twinge of conscience, even amongst fur traders occasionally, because millions of dollars are being made through the slaughter of animals simply to satisfy human vanity?
Yes, I don't suppose anybody likes killing for the sake of killing.
The anti-fur brigade got louder and louder, and in the 1980s started protesting at fashion parades and outside snooty boutiques. One of the protesters' signature moves is throwing blood on fur. Oh, don't worry, it's fake blood. On real fur.
A familiar London double-decker bus brought the Greenpeacers to their graphic protests at the Hudson's Bay building, where close to 2 million furs are now on sale. To make their point, they tried to deliver a rabbit coat drenched with stage blood. But not surprisingly, no one let them in.
Protests like that sure didn't change everyone's minds.
Let them protest, I'll wear my coat.
But it did work a bit. By 2018, big-name luxury designers like Versace, Gucci and Michael Kors vowed to go fur-free. And now synthetic fur, that's fur that doesn't come from animals, is the answer. There's nothing unethical about fake fur, right? Right?
Fake fur is largely made out of petrochemicals. So from a sustainable perspective, it's really no good.
Ugh, can we not get anything right? At least we're saving the minks, I guess. Those glorious stinky weasels. Till next time, I'll catch you on... Wait, they did what? Proudly fur-free since 2026.
What?
They did what?
They did what?
I can't believe that. Find weekly podcast episodes of Wait, They Did What? In the Kids tab of ABC Listen. You can also find us on the ABC Big Kids YouTube channel.